This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House Health and Human Services Committee meeting will now come to order. I want to welcome everybody here. It would be a great time right now to check your cell phone. I checked mine just before I came, and my ringer was on. So I could have gotten caught today. So go ahead and do that. It can happen to the best of us. With that, I will ask the Secretary to please call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Here.
Consett.
Here.
Deutsch.
Here.
DeSanto.
Here.
Greenfield.
Here.
Haugard.
Here.
Holmes.
Here.
McCleary.
Here.
Sly.
Here.
Soley.
Here.
Woman.
Here.
Heinemann.
Here.
Munsterman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great. You have before you the minutes from the last meeting. I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
There's a motion by Representative Heinemann, second by Representative Sly. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, this is a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Minutes are passed. Very good. Well, welcome today to our internet listeners and those smiley faces that are in the audience, and even welcome to the ones that aren't smiling back at us yet. There you go. Now they're all smiling back at us. We do have one page with us. She's going to handle the brunt of all the punishment this morning. Would you come to the mic, turn it on, tell us your name, where you're from, and your vision for your life?
Hi, I'm Mary Merksbauer. I go to Aberdeen Central. I'm a senior this year. I plan to either go to UNL or USD. I'm undecided on what I want to do, but I came here to kind of get a feel for law and a little more into that. So, thank you.
Well, you'll probably see some of that here. Hopefully more than we expect. Just a reminder, make sure that if you're here to testify that you sign in. If you're here representing an organization, make sure you have a lobbyist badge to make sure that everything is done appropriately and all questions directed through the chair. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get started on our agenda for today. We have House Bill 1023, which we have a request that be withdrawn. And so I would entertain – pardon me? Correct. They want to withdraw the bill, and so I would entertain a motion to table that bill.
So moved.
There's a movement by Representative Heinemann and seconded by Representative McCleary. There's no discussion. Is that a roll call vote, by the way, or a voice vote? Roll call. Please call the roll. That was a good question, huh?
Yes. Very good.
Representatives Campbell.
Aye.
Consett. Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Haugard?
Aye.
Holmes?
Aye.
McCleary?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Soley?
Aye.
Woman?
Aye.
Heinemann?
Aye.
Munsterman?
Aye.
12.
House Bill 1023 has been tabled. We have our next bill, which is House Bill 1025, which is to place certain substances on the controlled substance schedule and to declare an emergency. We will now take proponent testimony for House Bill 1025. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Joan Adam. I'm a division director with the Department of Health, here to present House Bill 1025, an act to place certain substances on the controlled substance schedule and declare an emergency. Each year, the Department of Health introduces legislation to keep South Dakota laws consistent with Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, or DEA, scheduling. There are four different schedules of controlled substances, with Schedule 1 drugs having the highest potential for abuse, with no accepted medical use in the United States, to Schedule 4 drugs that have the lowest potential for abuse and have an accepted medical use in the United States. I'm going to go ahead and walk you through each of the sections of the bill. Starting with Section 1. Section 1 amends 3420B-4.1 to update the list of anabolic steroids. If you go to page 4 of the printed bill, this is where the list of drugs being added begins. All of these drugs are steroids where underground chemists, if you will, have made slight chemical changes two compounds in order to avoid regulation. And as you can see, there have been quite a few that have been added this year. The list continues onto page 5 of the printed bill. I'm going to go ahead and move on to Section 2, which is on page 6 of the printed bill. This amends 3420B-13 to add acetyl fentanyl as a Schedule 1 drug. And that addition is on page 7 of the printed bill. This designer drug is a derivative of the powerful pain-killing drug fentanyl. It has properties similar to heroin and has no medical use. It is responsible for many overdose deaths in the United States. Section 3, page 7 of the printed bill. This amends 3420B-16 to add naloxegol to the list of drugs that are excluded from Schedule 2 drugs. Naloxegol is used for the treatment of opioid-induced constipation. Also in Section 3 on page 8 of the printed bill, ioflupane is removed from the list of Schedule 2 drugs. This drug was originally scheduled because it's a derivative of cocaine. However, the DEA determined that it was not subject to abuse and removed it from the list. It is used in nuclear medicine radiology to assist in the diagnosis of neurological diseases such as Parkinson's. Section 4 of the printed bill, the amendment is on page 11. This amendment adds eluxadiline to the list of Schedule 4 drugs. It is used for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea. And Section 5, also on page 11 of the printed bill, is the emergency clause to allow for the updates to take place after its passage and approval. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my testimony. I would be happy to take any questions.
Okay, we'll take further proponent testimony. But thank you. We'll probably have you back here real soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony for House Bill 1025 this morning? Any further proponent testimony? Any further proponent testimony? We'll move to opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1025, opponent testimony? Very good. Seeing none, we'll move to, we'll close public hearing and move to committee questions. Representative Deutsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you please come forward?
You needed the exercise anyway this morning, right?
This morning.
I guess two quick questions. Number one, are these changes, have they also been implemented in the other states in the country?
Mr. Chairman, I am sorry, Representative, I would not be able to answer that specifically if each of the states have. What I do know is that the states and law enforcement take our cue from the DEA.
Okay.
And typically follow suit. What changes the DEA makes, we make.
Got it.
In addition, I would just add, we do work closely with the Attorney General's office on these changes to make sure that they're in support of the changes that are being made and that we're not unknowingly doing anything that would alter their efforts as well.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, one other question. To your knowledge, are any of these changes controversial?
Mr. Chairman, no. To my knowledge, nothing would be controversial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions, committee questions? Representative McCleary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've heard a lot in the news as of late about opioids. Are there any in here that are considered opioids, or is there something else coming?
Mr. Chairman, I To answer your question, as far as the drugs that we're adding today, I would not be able to answer specifically if any of them are considered to be the opioids. However, there are, this is just one of the sections. 34 actually contains sections 20B1 all the way to 3420B111. And opioids are listed through in the statute. Yes.
Good. Any further committee questions? Very good. Thank you. We'll move on to committee discussion and or action. Representative Honeyman.
Move do pass.
Second.
We have a motion for do pass from Representative Heideman, seconded by Representative Sly. Any discussion on that motion?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we last year we had an intense discussion about this because one of the representatives on the committee asked why we do this every year. I don't know if you recall that or not. So we did go through an in-depth discussion about that, and it's certainly appropriate. We have to be in keeping with what the DEA is recommending, so I urge your due pass.
Very good. Thank you. Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Woolman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
13 yeas.
We'll send House Bill 1025 to the House floor with the due pass. We'll move on to House Bill 1026, which, pardon me? There's a motion for consent.
Second.
Any opposition to that? Very good. It'll move as consent item. And then also, if it does get pulled off consent, Representative Heineman, if you would be willing to represent it on the floor, that'd be great. So, very good. We'll move on. House Bill 1026, which is to revise certain provisions regarding the annual inspection requirement for licensed health care facilities. We will take proponent testimony on House Bill 1026. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Martinez. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Department of Health. The purpose of 1026 is really simply to clarify the statute that pertains to the inspection frequency for licensed healthcare facilities. As you are aware, a variety of healthcare facilities are licensed and regulated by us, by the Department of Health. And at the same time, some healthcare facilities are also certified through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, CMS, and certification allows them to participate in the Medicare and Medicaid programs and to be reimbursed for providing services through those programs. Of course, as part of our regulatory duties, the department inspects healthcare facilities. We do this for the Medicare and Medicaid certified facilities, as well as the facilities that are just state licensed. We actually do several types of healthcare facility inspections. The most common are routine, periodic. We call them recertification inspections for the certified facilities. There's also follow-up inspections. These are inspections that are done after we find some issues in a particular facility. They have a certain amount of time. They have to submit a plan of correction. They have a certain amount of time to implement that plan of correction and to come back into compliance with the regulations. We do a follow-up survey then to ensure that the facility actually has followed through on their plan of correction. And then also we do complaint inspections. And so this would be an inspection that really is generated by a complaint that our office receives. And almost about a third of the inspections we do are complaint inspections, i.e. result. We're in that facility because of a complaint we've received. So when you're talking about the periodic, the routine, the recertification inspections, that inspection frequency is dictated by CMS. And the specific frequency varies by the type of healthcare facility. For example, under the federal requirements, hospitals are inspected once every 3 years, and nursing homes are inspected once every 13 months. These are national standards. Every state follows them. So it doesn't matter what state you go to, this is the inspection frequency that state's going to be following. The issue this bill is seeking to address is that the state statute does not accurately reflect the current and accepted practice when it comes to the frequency of healthcare inspections. So state statute, and I'm specifically talking 3412.16, requires that health inspections be conducted annually. This law was, that annual requirement was put in place 30 years ago in 1986, at a time when we had fewer healthcare facilities and when CMS was not dictating the required survey inspection or inspection frequency. So with House Bill 1026, we're simply bringing state statute in line with current and accepted practice regarding healthcare facility inspections. The current inspection frequency will not change as a result of this bill. So looking at the bill, and you see a number of changes, and the substantive change that we're making is actually on page 1, line 6, and at the very beginning of that strikeout on line 6, it says at least annually. That is the most substantive change we're making to the statute. All these other little changes you see are simply style and form edits that LRC is asking us to make as we're revising the statute. So again, we're just trying to clarify the statute so that it is consistent with current accepted practice. And again, I want to emphasize the current inspection frequency for healthcare facilities will not change as a result of this. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we respectfully ask for your support of House Bill 1026, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1026? Good morning.
Good morning. Deborah Owen with Sadaho. We're just kind of doing a Me Too. We are full support of these amendments from the nursing home facilities who are our members, about 33 of them in the state, and appreciate DOH helping keep the federal and the state in line together in tandem as we look forward to operating great nursing homes. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1026. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman, committee members. Mark Dayak with the South Dakota Healthcare Association, representing the continuum of long-term care providers in our state. We, too, are very supportive of this change and certainly would stand by for any questions. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1026. Proponent testimony. Is there opponent testimony to House Bill 1026? Opponent testimony. Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Any committee questions? Representative Deutsch?
Question for Mr. Martinez. We've actually had this conversation. I just want to clarify publicly that these changes do not impact inspections of abortion clinics.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
Representative Deutsch, thank you for the question. Yes, that's absolutely correct. Technically, an abortion facility isn't a licensed healthcare facility in the state. It's licensed as an abortion facility. The healthcare facilities are licensed through 3412, and abortion facilities are licensed through Chapter 3423A, and there is a specific statute in there that dictates the inspection frequency for abortion facilities, and that will not change.
Very good. Any other committee questions? Representative McCleary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom, just a question. Being in the dairy business for many years, our inspections came every 6 months. Now, has there ever been a difference for hospitals, per se, as for 3 years? And then a second to that question, are they notified when an inspection is coming, or do we just get to, you stop in and we're here for an inspection? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, to answer your second question first, all the inspections that we do in healthcare facilities are unannounced. So, and it actually would be violating federal law to disclose our intention to inspect a facility on a certain date. So we take that pretty seriously. So they're all unannounced. I can't tell you how long CMS has been operating under this, through the current dictated inspection frequency, I guess, schedule or whatever. I've been in this position for 10 years. It's been that way for those 10 years. And again, the annual requirement and statute was put in place in 1986, so a number of years ago. So at some point there, it changed, and we just, quite frankly, failed to update, when it changed, update this statute to reflect what the current practice is. And I'll just touch on, you know, it sounds like a long time, like with the hospitals where it's once every 3 years. And again, we're just talking about the recertification, the routine inspection. We're likely in facilities a lot more often, in hospitals more often than that because, again, the complaint inspection. So it's rarely a case of where, and sometimes, unfortunately, we're in the same facility multiple times a year. But it's really a case of where, okay, we've done it, and now you're good for 3 years, you know, see you in 3 years. That just really isn't the reality. The reality is that the next week we could be back in that facility based on a complaint. So, mm-hmm.
Okay. Follow up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you give the committee, and I am somewhat familiar with follow-ups, but is there a definite, I mean, is it ER? Is it just clinic visits or a patient room visit? Can you give, I think, the rest of the committee a little bit of an update of where that follows?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. I believe you're asking about the scope of the follow-up inspection. Yeah, the follow-up inspection then is focused on the violations that were cited in that initial inspection, of course. So the initial inspection is a broad inspection, comprehensive inspection. The follow-up inspection just looks at those violations and makes sure that they are corrected.
Very good. Further committee questions? Thank you, Tom. We'll move on to committee discussion and or action. Representative Heineman.
Move to pass.
Second.
We have a motion for due pass from Representative Heineman, seconded by Representative Deutsch. Any discussion on that motion? Representative Heineman.
I certainly agree with trying to comply with what the federal regulations are in this case so they coordinate. So I appreciate the Department of Health's interest in this.
Very good. Any further discussion? You have a motion for due pass on House Bill 1026. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1026 will move to the House floor with a due pass. There's a motion for consent. Representative Heineman, seconded by Representative Deutsch. Any opposition to that motion for consent? Very good. House Bill 1026 moves to the House floor. Due pass on consent. We'll now move on to our last bill, House Bill 1028, which is to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes related to the Department of Health. We will now take proponent testimony on House Bill 1028. Good morning again.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joan Adam. I'm a division director with the Department of Health, here to present House Bill 1028, an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes to the Department of Health. House Bill 1028 continues the department's efforts to identify obsolete and outdated laws to be repealed as part of the governor's initiative to cut red tape. I will walk through each section, but in summary, the repeal is recommended because the law is repeated elsewhere in statute. The responsibility that was once given to the Department of Health is now handled by a federal agency, or the statute is unnecessary and does not reflect current work practices of the Department of Health. In all instances, none of these repeals will alter the current work of the Department of Health. Section 1, first page of the bill. This section, 143.2.1, is identical to 34.21.4.1. This section of law deals with enforcement of radiation safety control activities that the Department of Health handles. Section 2, on page 2, This is sections 2 through 11. These repeals are sections of law that assign various licensing boards to the Department of Health. These sections are unnecessary as Title 36 is the complete consolidation of all boards, licensing boards, and assigns these same boards to the Department of Health. Section 12, which is on page 4 of the printed bill, repeals section 143.3, which says the Department of Health, let me catch up here with my bill, which says the Department of Health is to consist of agencies named in the chapter. This is unnecessary statute, as the sections in this chapter specifically mention the Department of Health as the responsible agency. Or, in this section of law, it includes sections that have already been repealed. Section 13 repeals 34.119, which was originally put into law in 1959, and states that the Department of Health shall cooperate with the South Dakota Developmental Center. This is another section of law we feel is unnecessary. Section 14 through 22 repeals 3418A-1, which deals with specifications of hamburger and imitation hamburger. This law was put into place in 1975 or before federal regulation by USDA. The federal USDA regulates this area, and so the law is no longer relevant to practice in our state or elsewhere. Section 23, which begins on page 7 of the printed bill, and I'll just clarify, if you're following along on the bill brief we provided, the bill brief states sections 23 through 33. It's actually just sections 23 through 32. These sections deal with research on the misuse or abuse of controlled drugs and substances. This law was also put into place before the federal government handled regulation related to research. These efforts are all handled by the federal government through the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA. The final section of the bill, which I'll apologize again, on your bill brief says section 34. It's actually section 33, which is on page 10 of the printed bill. This repeals section 34.24.26, which establishes reporting requirements for providers to report severe auditory or visual impairments to the Department of Health. This statute was put into place in 1975, but does not reflect current practice. It's not to say that providers aren't testing for severe auditory or visual impairments, but providers do not have to report that information to the Department of Health. Mr. Chairman, this concludes my testimony. I respectfully request your support for House Bill 1028, and I'll be available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1028. Further proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there opponent testimony to House Bill 1028? Opponent testimony. Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Move to committee questions. Any committee questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee discussion and or action. Representative Heineman.
Mr. Chairman, I move due pass.
We have a motion by Representative Heineman for due pass, seconded by Representative Konzett. Discussion on that motion, Representative Heineman.
Well, I think the Department Secretary helped with the explanation. I guess I would encourage due pass.
Any further discussion on the motion at hand? We have a do-pass motion on House Bill 1028. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Aye.
Consett.
Aye.
Deutsch.
Aye.
DeSanto.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Haugard.
Aye.
Holmes.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Soli.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
13 yeas.
House Bill 1028 passes the do-pass motion to the House floor.
Consent.
And we have a motion for consent by Representative Heineman, seconded by Representative Deutsch, the consent team for today. Any opposition to that consent? Very good. We'll move House Bill 1028 to the House floor, do-pass on consent calendar. Very good. Well, that concludes our bills for the morning. I would entertain a motion for adjournment. Representative Holm, thank you for that motion. Seconded by Representative Greenfield. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Very good. Thank you.